Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my show. I'm your host, Diana Bawaros, award-winning best-selling author, Fire and Ice, The Journey of Transformation, The White Within, and award-winning filmmaker living in Los Angeles in Hollywood. And you can find out more about me on my website, dianabawaros.com, as well as subscribe. Let me know what kind of a topic you wish me to cover, and I'll be more than happy to do it. Thank you so much to all of my listeners who are subscribing, who are commenting, who are listening. I love you. All my love to you. So today I'm so honored to have this amazing, amazing guest. And she lives in Hollywood. And she's an actress. She's an author. She does a lot of things. And I'm going to leave it to her to tell you about herself. Her name is Brandy Stilwell. Welcome, welcome, Brandy, to my show. Please introduce yourself and, of course, tell us everything. We would love to know what you have been doing since you moved to Los Angeles, even before. Anything you would like to share with the listeners today?
Oh, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here. I really appreciate you having me. I am that person that has bad luck, but I learned a long time ago that, you know, I have gallons and gallons and jugs of lemonade. So if that's what, like, hands you the lemons, I have more lemonade to go around, and I'm happy to share it with anyone. My father used to introduce me as his daughter that had the black cloud that followed her everywhere that she went. And I'm like, thank you. But I always kind of joke that I'm that person that's in the race. I'm in the race, but you only hear about the people that take first, second, or third. But I take like fifth or seventh or eighth, and that's because I read the directions wrong. I turned right instead of left. There was a manhole that was left open. I fell inside. So I'm there. I'm here. I'm in the race. You just don't. And I do. And I finish a lot ahead of a lot of other people. But you just never hear about me because, again, I fell in the open manhole or something like that had happened. It's interesting. You know, I had so many friends. You know, when I started out young in this town, and this town isn't for everyone, but I'm still here. I'm still hustling. I do improv. I do storytelling. I do voiceover. We're a lot of friends, even before the pandemic. We're like, all right, I gave it my shot. I'm going to move home to New Jersey now and become a realtor. And that happened to so many of my friends. And then even during the pandemic, they're like, hey, I'm moving home to New Jersey to be a realtor. And you're like, no. And so there's like few less of me that are out here. But I'm still trying, and I'm still treading water, and I'm still hustling. And, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. My back, my whole body sounds like a haunted ship. But, you know, I'm still trying. I'm trying. And out of all of these tragedies, which, again, you know, I wrote a book called None of This is Going According to Plan. And in the book, you know, the whole thing is, you know, you get knocked down seven times, you got to get back up eight. So you just got to keep, you just have to keep trying. And, you know, it's now when weird, you know, I'm so used to having weird random things happen to me that I hardly even react anymore. I'm like, oh, okay, that just happened. All right, let me clean it up. I just keep going. All right, I might be a few minutes late. Actually, to give you an idea of, like, how things are, a couple months ago, a friend of mine gave me this really expensive, like, nice candle, but it was like, you know, it's this good luck candle. You burn it and good luck's going to come to you. So in my living room, I have like a 1958 Coca-Cola Vindo machine, and it's like 5 feet tall, and I'm like 5'6". And it's the only place in my apartment that I can really put a candle that my cat can't get to and like burn the place down. So I have it sitting on the Coke machine, and I kind of threw a Hail Mary to a friend in an email, and I got up and I walked over to my lit candle that's on the 5 foot tall Coke machine. And again, I'm 5'6". And I started to give the good luck candle a pep talk. And I'm in the middle of, hey, if there's anything you could do to speed things along, I'd really appreciate. And I can't even get the word appreciate out when I hear this weird, awful noise. And it sounded like a picture sliding off the wall. And I'm looking around for this weird noise when I realize it's my hair and it's on fire. So running into the bathroom, and I don't panic. I'm like, okay, this just happened. And just patting my head down. I never saw flames because I'm patting it down. And, you know, as a woman, you have, like, flyaway wisps in your hair. And that's what set on fire. So I get to my sink in the kitchen.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's ash, lots of, like, black ash and hair. There was a lot of hair. And now my hair smelled like a 1980s home Ogilvy home perm. And I'm like, my whole apartment just reeked of like a fire. And again, all I could do was like, well, I guess I'll document it. And I just took pictures of my sink and the candle. And then I couldn't stop laughing because this wouldn't happen to anybody else that would set their hair on fire by giving a pep talk to a good luck candle. So, yeah, you know, these things happen. And then, you know, again, the milk is spilled, so you just clean it up and you move forward. I can wear a hat. I have no one to impress right now. So I'm already in the middle of bad hair choice because I was like, oh, I should probably get some Audrey Hepburn bangs, which is adorable and it's cute for a little bit. But then when you try and grow them out, it, you know, you kind of look like Alfalfa from You Little Rascals, and it just stands straight up. So to have my hair catch on fire and have those wisps, I'm like, it's okay. Just going to put a headband on or a hat, and that's where we've been for the last – we're still in the process of growing things back out again. You know, that's how I live my life. You get knocked down 7 times, you get back 8. So there you go.
Exactly, 100 times, and I'm always getting up, you know, and I live in Hollywood there, and we are on the same page, basically, so I can write the book for my life for sure, and you have to, it's really nice because you can laugh, you know, at the things that are happening in your life, and I strongly suggest as a life coach to people, don't tell I have a bad luck or anything like this because you are attracting more of it.
That was my father. That's how I grew up. That's how I, you know, as a child, that's how I thought life was. But now as an adult, I'm like, no, don't say that to people because you know. And now it's like, okay, put the good energy out there. You just have to put the good energy out there. And if you got to pivot, you have to learn how to pivot. And if you, you know, it's, you have to teach yourself to laugh at things, you know. Crying isn't going to get, it's a lot of weight on your shoulders. If you let it go and just be like, oh, that happened and it's funny, it's like, hey, I kind of lost some weight on my shoulders and we can laugh about it. So, yeah, I agree, 110%. Do not put that out there. That was my father. That was my childhood.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. That's not good. Just don't do it. Just don't use negative talk or anything like this. Can I ask you, how long you have been here in Los Angeles?
oh goodness, so long. I mean, I don't know. That would mean I'd have to do math in my head really quick. It was the turn of the century. How about that?
Oh, okay.
It was the late 1900s. I've worked on everything from Mad TV, Family Guy, American Dad. I've done shows on the CW that I would not put on my resume for anything. I'm like, oh, I might, my feet might start getting hot somewhere later in life. Well, I'm like, oh, no, I must be going to hell for working on that show. And then I've worked at Warner Brothers and DC Comics and freelance writer for Disney, and I've done everything, you know, at Disney from Star Wars books to The Incredibles, The Princess and the Frog, Mickey and Friends, Zootopia. So I've had a long list of really amazing, you know, titles that I've been able to work on in my life here, and I'm so thankful for it. Very, very thankful for it.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So you were able to put your foot in this Disney, CW, all of these TV stations, which are very popular, but resistance pays off. That's what I can tell you now. Maybe
yeah.
You have to go through all of these lessons so you can learn something. Usually things like this happen in our lives, so we have to learn something from it. And that's how we have to see it. And like you said, from the lemon, make lemonade. I know I have tons of those here also. But when we continue to try, we eventually get where we want to go. Just don't give up.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I'm telling everybody. Just continue to do it. Don't listen to negative thoughts. Don't listen to anybody. The only person you should listen to is yourself. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So tell us about your book. None of this is going according to plan. I kind of have an idea what is this book about, but share with the listeners, please.
Again, my whole life, I have been able, I'm that person that, you know, is getting ready to walk across the graduation stage, but I have toilet paper stuck to the bottom of my shoe. Or I could walk, you know, be at dinner with friends and go into the bathroom and have something bizarre happen, where they just mopped the floor and I have slipped and fallen and skidded underneath the bathroom stall, making eye contact with whoever's on the toilet, laying there soaking wet, like, hi, I'm sorry, excuse me, and then have to put myself back out underneath the stall. So I just have my entire life, even I did an internship in New York City a lifetime ago, and everyone used to be, you know, I could go to lunch, and I'd come in from lunch just covered in pigeon poop, and they're like, what's happened? And I'm like, I just went to buy peanuts from the guy on the corner in the park, and you know, I have pigeon poop on me. Even in New York at the internship that I had done, people were like, screw Seinfeld, I want Stillwell. And people always would be like, you have the most amazing stories. And, you know, I have literally, like, you know, before computers were a thing, I had, you know, journals, and I would write stories down, the things that had just happened. And then, you know, then computers, internet comes along, and then I just started cataloging things, and then Facebook would, you know, had come along, and I would start writing, you know, story time with Aunt Brandy, and it would just be random, bizarre stuff that would have just happened to me. And I was going, originally the name of the book for the longest time was called Jesus Hates Me, But My Mother Tolerates Me, 70 Short Stories to Give You a Vague Idea Why.
Oh my
and
God.
Everyone loved the title. except for my own mother. She had a problem with it, and she's the one person that I just couldn't, you know, I'm like, I can't go against her. I just can't. She's been too good to me, so I can't do that. So that's why I pivoted and switched it to none of this is going according to plan. And, I mean, I have hundreds of stories. And actually in the book, there are 60. And right before, and it's already been greenlit for a sequel because I got them. And we are doing an Audible. But the right before it went to the printer, I was like, can we cut, let's cut, like, my publisher, John Bucher, who's an awesome, wonderful human being, I was like, it was 68 stories. And again, they all have like a beginning, a middle, and an end. I call it a toilet reader. So, or if you're, you know, you need to kill time before you go to bed, or you're on the subway, you are on a bus, you are waiting for your friend to pick you up, you can read a chapter. Because every story is, it stands alone. And, you know, some might be 5 pages, the next one might be 12, the next one might be 8. It just depends on how long it took me to tell it. And, you know, even cutting 8 stories before it went to the printer, it's still over 400 pages long. So you do get... It is a thick book, and you do get the value out of it. And, you know, since it's already been greenlit for a sequel, I have, like, 30 stories that are ready to go. And then every now and then friends would be like, hey, do you remember when this happened? I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, I put that – I pushed that away in the universe. Oh, yes, I need to go write that down. So that is still happening. And then luckily, you know, on Facebook memories every day, it's like, here's your memories of what happened in your life on this date all these years ago. And then here's a story time with Aunt Brandy, and you're like, oh, my God, I feel shame again. Yes, I remember this. I need to put this in this book over here and write it down. And then when I get a second, I will – completely flush it out, because then it all comes back to you and you're like, here, everyone, live in my shame. And if you can laugh along with me, then, you know, go for it. I don't make fun of anybody else, but I can make fun of myself all day, you know. So
that's important. All good. Very important.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have a listener with us. Somebody has a question. I introduce yourself, please.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Jan. My name is Jan. And
welcome, Jan. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Jan.
Hi. Yeah, I was going to say, I had some questions for Brandy, but as I'm listening, this is just so many crazy stories. And I can't imagine how you keep up with all and remember everything. I guess, like you said, your friends remind you of stuff. But I have to say that this book has so many stories. I've got it. And you could open to anywhere in the book. It doesn't have to be at the beginning of a chapter. if you don't mind me reading, I just open to one page and it just starts with, I started to swell, meaning eyeball, from the pain. Basically, I only had one functioning eye at this point, but luckily it wasn't my first rodeo of having weird anomalies wrong with my face while out of public. Fear of peeing on myself from the pain was also looming, and I was only armed with a date night purse, smaller than usual. I mean, it's like, how can you remember all these details?
Well, that story, because at first when you started to read that to me, I was like, oh, which story is this? And then I was like, oh, yes, that was a date that I had gone on. Do you remember this? Because you feel the shame. I used to be, like when I was like 16, I first started to learn how to drive, if someone honked at me, I would be just destroyed for days. And now, you know, I live in LA, they get my middle finger. But, you know, it's gross. But at the same time, you're just like, you know, especially some of those were just so embarrassing. They were, and it just, you just, I carried that shame with me for a long time. But I think that's the other thing, you know, as women, you know, we feel guilty about things that we shouldn't have to feel guilty about. And it took me a long time to be like, you know, I can own this. I did this. Let's all laugh at it. But I don't feel shame for it anymore. But because I carried all shame with that, I remember it. You're, because it lived in my head rent-free for a very long time. But it was, I had gone through a really sad breakup with like the love of my life, and it had been 2 years. A friend of mine signed me up for a dating website. The very first guy that I went out with, just everything starts going wrong, and it's Los Angeles. There's 4 million people here, and who do I run into in a city of angels with 4 million people? The one time I get to go out on a date with another guy is my ex-boyfriend with his new girlfriend. And so, of course, I'm upset. I'm crying. I call my mom in Kansas, who is at a Walmart, and they're loading a cement beer, as one does, from a Walmart at like 11 o'clock at night in the back of their pickup truck for a yard ornament. And I'm upset, and I literally say to her, why does Jesus hate me so much? And then, of course, I lose connection because I'm multitasking. I'm trying to park my car in a canyon, and I've lost cell service, but I don't know about it because I'm rambling on for, like, the next 20 minutes until I look in the mirror, my rearview mirror. And when I went on my date, I looked like I had been to the Caribbean because I had a nice bronzer on. But now from, like, my eyes down, I look like I had opened the Ark of the Covenant, and my whole face had melted. And I don't have my – I have date night purse. I don't have my regular makeup bag. And I have nothing to wipe my face down with. So I found an envelope in my car. I think it was, like, the DMV envelope. And I'm spitting on it to try and – wipe the mascara that is now staining underneath my face. And that's when I inflicted a paper cut under my eye. And so now I have blood running down my face. And I've been gone from my date because we went from one location to the other. But I insisted on driving because I'm like, you know, we all watched Oprah when we were kids, and we're like, the body disappears at the second location. I'll drive. You know, I didn't know this person. It was my first date with him, so I drove, but now I've been missing for a good half an hour or so, and I have, like, a pink pastel pink cable sweater on that I was trying to dab with the blood, and it ended up soaking through the side of my sweater. And I still had to go finish my date. So that's what that story is that you were referring to. So, yeah, I remember that very well. And everything that's been before it and after it, it lived in my head rent-free for a very long time. A very long time.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Do you see stories in your head while they're happening? Do you just, like, relate it to, like you said, the Ark of the Covenant or something? Do you, while it's going on?
It just depends. I mean, I've been, you know, knee deep in pop culture my whole life. So, I mean, so when things happen, you know, even this past weekend, I was in Kansas. I was in Missouri and Kansas visiting my family, and my 96-year-old Cherokee Indian grandmother is at a retirement home. And there was it was tough. It's tough for me to be in places like that. And there was a woman that was at the end of her table, and this is not a fun story. I apologize for that. But, you know, she only had one eye, and I don't know what her hearing was like when she's just beating a cup for, like, hours. And it's like a Stephen King novel. And that's where my head, you know, and anybody that would walk past her, she would pick up a word and start just repeating it over and over again. So, like, if you guys were talking about, like, going jogging later today, she would start yelling, jogging, jogging, jogging. And I was just like, this is a Stephen King novel. And so, you know, and of course, because I have been on a dead run for, what, 2 weeks now, I haven't slept in days. So, you know, to say I might be a little batshit crazy right now, is we're close or we're there. And so in my head, though, normally I can, you know, I'm good at, if you're playing bar trivia and you want, you know, you need a team member, I'm your lady. But for whatever reason right now, I'm like, I can't, like, what is this from? And all I'm like, Stephen King novel, Stephen King novel. But in my head, I'm like, this has got to be, it's something else, but I can't pinpoint it. And it will probably hit me at like 5 a.m. when I come sitting out of bed, like, what? And I'll be able to rattle it off. But it's just that it was, you know, it's uncomfortable, but that's, you know, that's where you go with it. Yeah. And, you know, again, I try not to be mean towards anybody else. I can be, you know, and I'm not even allowed to be mean to myself, but there's a difference between being mean to myself and making fun of myself to make other people laugh, or especially if it's going to make someone else feel better about themselves. I'm like, well, let me tell you about the time when this happened. And then again, it's just really easy for me to use pop culture references because, you know, even in the book, I make a you know, when I get the blood on the on my pastel pink cable sweater that's like soaking through, I make a Roy Hobbs, Robert Redford kind of analogy from The Natural, where his blood is coming off the side of his jersey. And I'm like, because, I, you know, if my examples like that are more precise, then, you know, I guess it, you know, because even after we were talking earlier and I made the comment about all the jugs of lemonade, I was like, you know, what's probably more accurate would be like one of those liquid container semi-rigs that pulls up outside of, like, the 7-Eleven, that's how much lemonade I got. Not junk. I have a semi-rig full of petrol oil, full of lemonade, that I'm more than happy to share with my friends and coworkers. Dawkins.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Thank you so much, Jen, for calling, for the wonderful questions. I'm so happy to hear you, Jennifer. I hope your day is going great. And Randy,
okay, well, thank
you're an absolute example. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're an absolute example for a strong woman.
Yes.
I just love your story. I love your attitude towards everything, what is going on in your life. You are absolutely amazing person. And keep your head up. Continue doing what you're doing. And have you tried, like, a stand-up comedy? Because I think you're going to have a lot of success doing that.
Actually, I do more, to be honest with you, I've always done storytelling just because stand-up seems to be mean-spirited. And especially as a mm-hmm. woman, you know, I've done improv here for so many years. And some people look down upon it, but to me, it kind of like it makes your mind move quicker, like if this then what, if this then what, if this then what, and you can just kind of start going faster. But I just remember, now here's the thing, the Me Too movement is so important. It is so important because I see the needle moving. But before, you know, even as a writer, I was told to my face I wouldn't get a script because I had a vagina. Not once, but three times. Another time I was told I wouldn't get a script because I was a woman. Now, in the middle of all of that, I had female friends that were doing stand-up. And somebody would, like, post, like, hey, this comedy club, we're booking this night. We have 18 slots. You know, submit and try and get in.
Yeah.
Your male friends got in. All the guys got in. But they would be like, oh, huh. You know, you have 18 slots, but you're being told you know, the different women friends that I had that were doing stand-up would submit, and they're like, yeah, sorry, we already have the one female slot. And, I mean, that was an everyday thing. Clear up right until, like, the whole Me Too thing. So between people kind of being mean-spirited and heckling, I was just like, now again, I feel I'm so much stronger than I used to be. And, you know, I do have a sharp tongue, and I can hold my own. But I don't want that. I don't want to put myself in, like, a hostile situation where you have people drinking in the audience that think that they can just shout out and be rude to you, which is why a lot of the comedians, when the whole Will Smith, Chris Rock thing happened, was like, holy crap, does somebody in the audience now think they can just walk up on stage and insult, slap, hit, whatever? And, you know, so I get that. We've all been to comedy clubs and, you know, before Me Too, and there was the heckling, and I was just like, I'm not strong enough mentally to handle that. But if you are storytelling, it's a different dynamic. It's the same stage, but it's a different dynamic on how you do it, because you get the audience gets on your side and they're rooting for you. And then especially when you pay off, you know, the story at the end, I mean, you people just would erupt and, like, cheering and screaming, and it is the best feeling. But it was different for my female friends that were doing stand-up. You know, you just, guys felt like they could just chuck a beer can up on stage, you know, and you're, it was just bizarre. And I didn't want any part of it. So I could never do stand-up. But storytelling and stuff like that, I'm like, yes, this is my lane. I'm good at it. I have a shit ton of stories, some published, some not. So I'm getting ready to go into the sequel of the book. I'm fully armed. You know, it's even like storytelling shows. If you go there and you don't know what the topic is, and they have a wheel and they spin it, and or they pull a subject out of the hat, it's like, give me a second to kind of do a 6 degree of separation. Like, okay, like, you know, give me, I remember I had one time it was something like, if it was like falling into a ditch, but I was able to tell the story of, you know, visiting, you know, my dad taking us to Kansas City when we were young, and we weren't allowed to have a pool because my dad worked in insurance, and he's like, if a neighbor kid fell in our pool and drowned, we'd be liable. We can't have a pool. I'm like, our nearest neighbor's 80, and they live a mile and a half away. But it did. That was the thing. So when we're like, we're going to a hotel, and they have a pool, and I can't, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And my dad's like, oh, please shut up, please shut up. And, of course, my sister's like, oh, my God, put a muzzle on her. I mean, I did this for 2 hours. Like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. So we get to the hotel, and I'm, like, half naked, throwing on, you know, we're not even in the front door of the hotel, and I'm, like, throwing bathing suit on, and I'm like, where's the pool? And my dad's, like, to my sister, like, just go follow her so she doesn't die. And here I am, like, sprinting out to the pool, you know, and I get through the gate, and I dive in the pool, and immediately realize that I have just dove into not the deep end, but the shallow end. And it is not a smooth surface. It's like the kind of rock, like painted rock surface. And my face is just scraped up against the bottom of it. So when I come up for air, I have like a racing stripe going from my forehead to my nose, to my lips, to my chin, and it's just bloody. You know, so it's like, okay, there's my degree, like falling into this, but I'm like, oh, here's my example of what that would be. So it wouldn't be precise, but it can be within a degree or two. And then the audience is right along with you that they're like, oh, my God, how are you still alive? And I'm like, safety gloves and helmets, everybody.
Wow.
It is a
miracle
that I'm still alive. I get it.
So we are out of time. You're absolutely amazing. I would love to have you again on my radio show. Can you share the website where people can very quickly find your book?
Amazon.com has it. That's Brandy, B-R-A-N-D-E-E, and Stillwell, three L's, S-T-I-L-W-E-L-L. And it's None of This is Going According to Plan. It is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And if you go into Barnes & Noble and they don't have it, they should be able to pull the ISBN number up and order it for you if you wanted to get it from that store.
Thank you so much, Jen, for being with us. Thank you so much, Brandy. I wish you an amazing weekend. Stay strong. Continue to do what you're doing. You are absolutely, absolutely great example for all the women. And I'm learning from you also, and I cannot wait to meet you here in Hollywood. And I had a great time. I hope the listeners too. And till next Friday.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.